Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
It's officially March when the madness arrives at MyBookie. Select winners from 63 tournament games in the My Bracket contest for a chance to win $10,000 in cash prizes, and it's only a single dollar entry. Sign up today at mybookie.ag and use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to secure your deposit bonus up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag. Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. D'Anthony. Reading the media today. Looking at the news.
Yeah.
It has changed drastically in the last 24 hours. Why do you think that is?
You know, it's hard to say, man. I guess people are just completely full of shit. Nothing new there, though.
Is it not what they hope happened yesterday in Boulder?
Yeah, it's funny, or it's not funny. It's kind of depressing, actually. But whenever some kind of this has been pervasive in American media for a while. But whenever some kind of tragedy happens, particularly when it involves guns, there's always one narrative. Like, is the guy white or do we not?
Yeah, what is it?
If he's not white, we can't report on it. So let's just find out if he's white first. If he is, let's make wild assumptions about his motivations.
Yep.
Like, he must be a white supremacist. It can't be that he's some kind of lunatic that thinks that somehow sex workers are responsible for his sex addiction, whatever the fuck that means. We're all addicted to sex, asshole. That's why we're here.
Well, look, that was the shooting in Atlanta, right?
That's what I'm saying. That was the same kind of situation, though. We'll get into this more. we'll get into this more. But I've had enough of all of this fucking bullshit. It's so goddamn stupid. You can see in the title of today's episode that the gentleman who went on a rampage in Boulder while appearing white clearly was not motivated by white supremacy in any way. And the fucking narrative out of the gate is, oh, it's just another Trump supporter, another white man fucking going crazy with guns. Like, yeah, his race was white. There's also other factors that come into play. And that's why I linked it back to the guy in Atlanta. Nothing that he did had anything to do with his race. Right.
Yep.
Not at all. And that's the only narrative you heard. And then once that narrative got debunked, then everybody fucking retreats into their corner and stops talking about it. So it's only news if it's denigrating white people somehow. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a woman who's infamous on Twitter. And you know, look, everybody's got their Twitter fame. This one is Mena Harris. M-E-E-N-A Harris. Spelled the traditional way here today. Oh, she blocked me. She blocked me after this comment. She released a statement today saying she was sorry for assuming the shooter was white. She goes, let's face it, it usually is, right?
That's like saying that's basically Chris Farley with Veronica Vaughn walking up into the bus. He goes, that Veronica Vaughn. Like,
yeah,
talking about how he fucked her. And Adam Sandler's like, no, you didn't. And he's like, well, I knew a guy did. Like, no, you didn't. He's like, oh, you can imagine if it happened. Everybody on the bus. No yelling on the bus. You know what I mean? It's that ultimate fucking caveat where, well, I mean, I know what I said was complete bullshit, but you could imagine if it were true. Like, shut the fuck up, you fucking loser. Jesus Christ, man. These people are just some of the most pathetic human beings on earth, to be
honest. So here was the comment that she blocked me over. Again, massive following. Super left. This is what she does. The tweets that separate the nation and all that shit, right? So the only thing I wrote back was this, and I'll just read it like verbatim off of here. Why post about assumptions? Isn't that what you're bitching about and all the groups you support now? Because people are making the wrong assumptions. You can't expect others to change stereotypes unless you're willing to change yourself. Is it at the top of her feed where it says her bio? It says she's, you know, loves BLM. She loves women's rights, you know, New York Times bestselling author and all this other stuff. And that's all fine. Right.
Yeah.
But the reason that you're fighting for all of these things is because you're fighting over a stereotype that in your mind doesn't exist. Now, if you're going to perpetuate a stereotype like this, that yes, every shooter, mass shooter is a young white man, then what's that going to say about the things that you're fighting for if everybody just accepts and assumes
the stereotypes that you're already putting out there.
Yeah, it's
clearly she didn't want to have a dialogue and blocked it.
No, she's full of shit, and so is everybody else, to be honest, in the media. I mean, when it's funny, I was listening to some of the coverage over the weekend, and some of the members of the media, I think from the Washington Post, were asking. So some folks were like, "Hey, why aren't you guys covering this now that it comes out that this guy's motivations weren't racial?" And they this is what they had to say, that they weren't covering. Specifically, they weren't covering the fact that these shootings were more likely caused by some kind of weird sexual deviancy and not because of the race of the victims, because they didn't want to expose the victims as sex workers and then victim blame them, because like to like, oh, if we talk about how they were sex workers, then that's somehow slut shaming or victim blaming or whatever. Now, that's weird, because I thought the left was pro-sex worker. I thought that slut-shaming was bad. And how does that work? That line of reasoning is completely bankrupt. And yep. What they're trying to do is make sure this stays on or near the subject that the man was white and the victims were not. That's it. That's all they're trying to do. They want to throw that narrative out there and then ignore everything else. And let what they count on is the people who are dumb enough to listen to that first part and not follow up are going to continue to believe that, so they can continue to stoke the flames of this made up fucking nonsense about racial fucking violence in America. It's absolute fucking dog shit.
Yeah. You know, I commented the day after this happened, and some people were like, well, it's a little too soon or whatever. No, not for me. Cause I actually grew up there. I grew up about 5-10 miles from where that incident in Atlanta happens. Mm-hmm. It was actually in Woodstock, so to couple it in with Atlanta is a stretch, to be honest with you.
Right.
It's about 40 minutes away, but it is the same county. Fulton County is a massive, massive county, which they've refused to split into two all these years for reasons that are beyond me. But as soon as this happened, I knew where this was. Like, yeah. You know, as a young man, you know where the Jack Shacks are.
Right.
You know what was going on and taking place there. And to me, I looked at it and I was like, man, I do not think this is any race issue whatsoever, other than just self-loathing. And, you know, it was a neckbeard, like you had said,
yeah,
who will probably never have sex with any of these people in real life if he wasn't paying them.
Right. Yeah.
At a certain point, he's out of cash and he's pissed off about the world and whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was listening to I don't know if you've ever heard the podcast Pardon My American. I don't ever listen to them.
No,
but I was listening to them over the weekend. And what they did was they found there's a couple of apps where you can find rub and tugs on the interwebs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an app called Rub and Tug.
Yeah, but I don't know why they didn't go with RubHub. That would have been way better. I mean, that's a huge missed opportunity. Yeah. But anyways, they went and looked at all the establishments that were targeted and things like that. And I think two of the three were actually on that list as like underground known fucking Jack Shacks. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, yes, they were.
Look, that doesn't – I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I think that should be completely legal. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the issue, and it's the issue with the Puritan bullshit in general when it doesn't make sense. Prostitution, when it is illegal, is a heavily preyed upon institution. Those people can't go to the police. They don't have police around because they have to conduct their business outside of the law, and – for no reason, by the way, except for it hurts other people's feelings. That is a victimless crime. Somebody, you can buy shit and you can fuck, but you can't buy fucking. That's the dumbest shit of all time. It doesn't make any sense. And it's all wrapped up in Jesus bullshit. So they have to operate in back alleys and corners and fucking seedy motels where there's a higher proclivity for crime. And also people who are predators are going to go find them there because they know the cops aren't around. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the other guy. You know what I mean? That's why even having a sign on the front of your house that says you have a security system makes you about 35-40% less likely to get broken into. Just for that reason. Just a little sticker on your fucking window. And that's why we've failed these people in every possible way. And now we failed them by not telling the goddamn truth. And the truth is, this guy had some severe mental problems and he preyed on people who were not protected by police, were not fucking treated properly by the immigration system. I've worked some of these cases before. I can tell you that a lot of those women, if not most of those women, are here because the owner of the business, some conglomerate organization, paid to have their family naturalized in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paid for their trip and their citizenship, and now they are indentured servants working for free, given fucking doing nails and hair and fucking massages and hand jobs, right? Yep. To pay off their family being in America. And that's what it is. The immigration system has failed and the police have failed. And we as a society have failed these fucking people.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, look, today's story, as soon as they found out the guy wasn't white.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pissed.
It's like the fucking record scratch. Oh, sorry. Yep. By the way, aliens. Do you guys hear about these aliens? Like, oh, my God, here we fucking go again.
Now, you know, once the information has actually come out, instead of running with the story that they were really hoping for once they got that first picture from a cell phone about 50 feet away, Syrian-born gunman Ahmad Alissa, 21, was known to the FBI. So he was already known. And ranted about Islamophobes hacking his phone before killing 10 at the Boulder grocery store with an assault rifle he bought 1 week ago. You know, once this came out, right, and they were not amped that it wasn't a white man, they moved on then to the AR-15. Now we've got a gun problem in the country, and that is those headlines switch like that. I've never seen headlines switch faster than, oh, let's get away from it.
About 67% of all gun deaths, 67 to 68% of all gun deaths are suicide, right? And suicide would likely be considered by any reasonable person the result of some kind of mental health issue, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if 67%, not a plurality, but a majority, and if you think about it in terms of Congress and Senate, a supermajority of events involve mental health just without taking anything else into consideration. Because what about the other 33%? What were those mental health murders? You know what I mean? Because you know the suicides are mental health. And then what percentage of other murders are also mental health? Let's just say it's another 10%, which is probably low. That's 77% of all these gun deaths that are caused by mental health. So you're willing to tell me that 77% of people have a similarity, and you're not willing to even consider that that's the problem and not a fucking piece of metal with some plastic on it. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, so I look, you know, then once it's a gun problem, obviously, then now you're going to see the gun control hashtag come out.
Well, that's what it is, right? That's what it is. It's not so – to me, the left on this issue is like Big Pharma. We do not want to fucking – find a cure for this. We want to treat the fucking symptom because that is what we do. We are intellectually lazy and we're fucking cowards in this country. We do not ever fucking tackle anything head on. We say, well, how can we fucking mitigate this? No, we fix things here. All right. JFK decided, you know what? We're going to defeat the Russians. What's a good way to do that? Fuck it. We're going to go to the moon. We were there in like 7 years. Are you fucking kidding me? We can do that. And we can't figure out mental health and homelessness in this country. I mean, where is all this money going to that we're fucking spending in taxes that isn't getting, I mean, it's going to the war on drugs where we're poisoning farms from the sky in Colombia for fucking 40 years, where we're starting micro wars all over South America and Central America, where we're installing dictators like Manuel Noriega and then arresting him later for doing what he told us to do. Get fucked. I mean, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life, and it's generational. It's not like it just started. It's been going on for 60 years now, 60, 70 years.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the COVID relief bill, right? 9% of it went to actually help people. Where the fuck is the other 91% going, and why? That's the biggest question with this. Because look, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, Dan and I called this a few months back when Trump wasn't going to get in, right? That then they were going to use the insurrection thing forever. Of hey, man, look at that. That's who those people are. It's a fucking insurrection. Blah blah blah. After that, we said, we literally told you on this show, wait, if there is a shooting whatsoever, they're going to come and try to take the guns away, which is what is going to happen now.
Right.
I've seen that phrase AR-15, ban AR-15 and assault rifles all day long today on every single platform because of what has happened in the last week. That's next. The other thing that I read today, Dan, was they want to make D.C. a state and then give them 2 senators. Now we know which way those senators are going to fall.
Yeah,
is that the right move?
Well, to be frank, DC probably does deserve statehood. I mean, that's been an issue for a very long time, and politics shouldn't be. It's not about right versus left, but you know, anything that pops up right now is going to come down to that. And it's weird to me that any new idea cannot stand on its own merit. It gets filtered through right v. left by every human being in this country, pretty much, except for a very small minority. Like, frankly, I don't give a shit whose idea it was, and we have to get back to that shit. When Tulsi Gabbard was on Rogan about a month ago, she said the same thing. She was talking about how a good idea is a good idea, right? There's no such thing as Republican math or Democratic fucking English. Like, math is math and English is English, and you teach that shit the way it is. But now we've gotten to this point where everything has to pass through this filter, and if it doesn't come from a source that we agree with, like this, you know, there's so much dumb shit going on like that right now. It drives me wild. I don't know where it ends. There's no objectivity. There's absolutely no objectivity. I'm tired of hearing people say that we have to work within the system. Why? Why? What? Why the fuck do we need to work within the system? Why would that be a thing? Why would we have to fucking subjugate ourselves to a failing system? You know what I mean? Like, if you were working out a certain way, mm-hmm. and you weren't getting the results that you fucking wanted, and you continue doing it, then you're a fucking idiot. There's that old quote, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Hello, right. Let's get the fuck out of here, man. Annihilate this fucking government as it stands right now. This is fucking not working for us. I don't know. I was listening again to Colin Quinn's stand-up from 2019.
Yep.
That he did for that CNN show he was doing. Amazing. And he actually suggested city-states, kind of like how ancient Greece was. So Sparta, Athens, very different cultures. He was like, look, you need Greece to be Greece when Persia shows up, but otherwise we really shouldn't be governed by the same set of rules because we're vastly disparate people, both in economy and in fucking political opinion. Why in the fuck do we think we can take, like, can you imagine there being one government for all of Europe? They tried that and it didn't fucking work, right?
Right.
So why should we expect to do it? Why should we expect to be able to accomplish that considering we are this quote unquote melting pot of all these different cultures? Why should we expect everybody to have to play by the same set of rules, man? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, more and more people are hopping on board with that because, look, if this DC thing happens, right, and look, I understand that there's 740,000 people that live there. It's more than two states, Wyoming and Vermont. And should DC be a state? Maybe. Other people are saying, why not just give it to Virginia and turn it into Mega Virginia, like, you know, like expand that state into one. The reason why they want DC to become its own state is so that the Democratic Party can get two extra seats in Senate.
Right.
That is also something you and I talked about a while ago on this show that, like, hey, man, if the Democrats do win this election, they win the House, they win the Senate, which they have. That would be the first step. The next would be gun control. And then after that, let's get Puerto Rico in there, and then let's stack the Supreme Court.
I mean, let's go wild. Let's go Virgin Islands. Let's go Guam. Let's go fucking American Samoa. Let's go the Marianas Islands. Let's do all of it. Fuck it, man. Let's do all of it. Why not? Like, if you this is basically what we tried to do at the beginning of this country is establish a government that avoided imperialism, and we tried real hard. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments tried really hard to accomplish that, but they have been shat upon more than any two of the amendments. That exists, frankly. Even the first and second are the most vocally and clearly shat upon in our modern culture. But the ninth and tenth, where we have this word called to explain a state rejecting federal authority. That's the way it was set up, motherfucker. You know what I mean? I mean, why?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's if you read all the quotes from the founding fathers about the dangers of political parties, and I'm talking about George Washington, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, all hated them. The first three presidents of this country said that political parties were going to become a real problem at some point, and it didn't take very long. As a matter of fact, it didn't take any time. Alexander Hamilton was rigging elections for the Federalists before we even got started as a country. So this binary means of thinking where my in-group is right and the out-group is wrong, regardless of the facts of the case, that is dangerous, poisonous thinking. And if you continue to think like that, you're going to get exactly what you fucking pay for, my man.
Yeah, but Hamilton had a sweet play in New York, Dan, and I think you're really overlooking that. That won every Tony there was.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
But now that's problematic too, right?
Is it? Is it problematic anymore?
Yeah.
You know?
He's. I think they may have been like Manny canceled a little bit.
And then
Manuel Lin Miranda had to apologize a little bit. Like, oh, I didn't think about that. Like,
well,
okay, dude, it's a play.
His wallet didn't apologize, that's
no,
for sure.
No, he didn't give any of his money back. It's funny. That's another thing Colin Quinn talked about in the show. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. He was like, yeah, we should really try socialism sometime, but really try it. Like, you order Grubhub one day, and it's George Clooney shows up to deliver your Grubhub. And you're like, George, what are you doing, bro? He goes, oh, this, you know, I had to switch out. There's some other guy on my yacht hanging out with a bunch of hookers right now and doing cocaine. He'll be there for 6 months, and I get to go back. So it is what it is. We're going to do, man. Yeah, give up your shit, you Hollywood cunts, instead of trying to tell me what to do and fucking and tell the middle class like what to do. It's good for thee and not for me. It's that whole fucking phrase. It applies to politicians and all these rich bitches out here. It's unbelievable that these motherfuckers think that that's the case, but this is the case in every society that has fallen, right? We are now seeing the warning signs. It happened in Rome. It happened in fucking Greece. It happened in fucking England. It happened in France. It's happened everywhere that there's an aristocracy. And if you don't believe there's an aristocracy in this country, go back to 1939 and read the book America's 60 Families, right? It was written almost 100 years ago, and already they were detailing how about 60 families in the U.S. control everything that's going on. You think it's any different now? It's probably even less families now, even more concentrated center of power now. And that's exactly what we were trying to avoid. We were trying to avoid concentrated centers of power in this country and get power back to the people. We have abjectly failed.
Yeah, and it's funny, man. I was in, you know, Los Angeles with you over the weekend, and I was doing a tech scout for a new show that is launching on our network here, probably in April, I would say. And we'll do an official announcement about it next week.
Yep.
But, you know, while I was there, it was one of the studios that I went to, which was close to one of the host's house to look at. It was decked out a home studio like I'd never seen before. And I was like, hey, man, this is unbelievably impressive. I was like, it looks like there's about $250,000 worth of equipment in here. And this is in your guest house. And he goes, well, because of COVID, like, we were essentially forced to do it. Right. You know, you could go into the other places, but either they were shut down with COVID or they had such strict regulations. And he goes, people are singing, doing audio, playing instruments. And he goes, it's a hard task to perform if everybody's wearing masks. And we were almost forced to do it. Right.
Right.
And he said, I know you guys are out of Austin, Texas. He was like, I was thinking about moving there, but I want to make sure before I move my entire studio there, because this equipment's a lot, the setup is a lot, and it's going to take me a long time. He said, the only thing I was worried about moving to Austin, Texas for is that all the Californians were moving there. And he goes, I don't want the politics to be the same. And I go, oh, well, that's what you're worried about. Then I definitely wouldn't move there because that's what's going to happen. And he started laughing and he goes, yeah, I just don't want to keep shifting to states that suck because the politics of the people keep moving to other states that they're sick of. And then they're going to other places to ruin them because of what they used to be. And I was right. Like, I don't know a way around it because it is all based on what you believe in politically.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen in Texas, to be honest.
I hope not. But I was out, Dan, over St. Patrick's Day down there. And man, there was so many homeless people out there that I was like, it felt like the beginning of Los Angeles.
Yeah, the homeless situation, definitely. But the politics have not kept up with it. I mean, every time Adler here in Austin tries to pull some bullshit, Governor Wheelchair is like, nah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Just yeah. Get the fuck out. And there's, I can tell you now, there's very little chance that Adler gets reelected. I would assume that there will probably be a third party candidate for mayor this next election in 2024. Or in 2022, rather, that'd be my guess that it'll win. And it might be Matt McConaughey.
Oh, as governor or mayor?
Mayor. I don't think he'll run for governor.
Okay. Because he just did that Texas, you know, the Save Texas yep. thing. And it would be great if he was the mayor of Austin yeah. for sure.
He doesn't need to be the governor of the state. He needs to be the mayor of Austin. He needs to be a well-rounded, educated man who's got some life experience and some world experience and experience on the other side of the fence in Hollywood that's still grounded, interested in liberty and common sense. He doesn't give a fuck about political parties. He cares about what's right and what's wrong. And I think that would be a really good value add for Austin because it may not work in large or at large in Texas because there's still a lot of deeply red voters here, but he could definitely get elected here in Austin. There's no question about that. And I also think he would have the greatest impact in Austin to be a trendsetter for the rest of the state. I mean, if the governor is a guy, and let's be honest, Wheelchair's done some stupid shit, but he's done some good shit too. So if you have leaders like that and backed up with a leader like fucking McConaughey, it could be in Austin, I think that would be a very good combination for the state. And they could hold all these other dum-dums accountable, like Beto, and who's going to run for Senate again, by the way, or governor or something like that. He's not going to win. There's no way. But, you know, it would be a good force against them, because say what you want about Wheelchair, he's been pretty reasonable. I don't agree with the shutdown stuff that he allowed, but, you know, he ultimately should have done what he's doing right now. Like, hey, if the establishments want to do that, then fucking fine. That this is America. They can do whatever they want. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's fine, yeah. Dude. Do what you want. But I'm not going to fucking tell them what to do. That's what he should have done, and that's what he's doing now. But and you have to allow for people to make mistakes and then come back from those mistakes. But the Dallas area is going to be super liberal. El Paso is going to have some problems down there as well. But yep. And Houston's going to have some issues. But even they have some Republican representatives there, you know what I mean, in that area. So it's not completely blue there. Not that I'm not getting into a blue versus red argument. I want reasonable human beings to be in charge of shit. And I think he would have the biggest impact in Austin.
Yeah, maybe. And look, man, I lived in a state where a celebrity was our governor for years. It was Schwarzenegger. And to be honest, it's not like I'm a gigantic Arnold Schwarzenegger fan either, but I mean, his movies were awesome. But he did an okay job when he was there, and he kept getting reelected. Like, shit was on the up and up. Trying to balance that budget in California is no easy task, my man. So we'll see. We'll
yeah,
see
what happens after the fucking condition Gray Davis left it in.
Yeah, oof, boy. And then I don't know what's going to happen with Gavin Newsom. We were just there.
Yeah.
Everybody was asking for the recall on him, which they've reached the numbers, like Dan said. But I don't know when that's going to happen and what's on the docket for that. If he gets thrown out or if there'll be enough time. I mean, we're already in 2021.
Yeah.
What is that, a year away, that election?
Yeah, probably 6 to 8. You mean for a recall election?
Mm-hmm.
I would say from right now, it's probably 6 to 8 months away.
6 to 8 months away?
Yeah, okay. Probably, at a minimum.
All right. Well, look, we'll find out as far as that goes. If Meghan Markle runs for president, though, we're all fine, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure her fucking wealth of life experience should be just great for us, because she went from being a rich actress to an even richer princess who is also somehow oppressed. So, great. Let's fucking do this.
Did you hear about Prince Harry? He landed on his feet.
Yeah.
No, what happened? Is it about chili dogs?
He's a Silicon Valley CEO now. He got hired by a Silicon Valley startup. I think he might be making more money than me.
He is. He's making more money than everyone.
I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm just happy for him.
All right.
And it involves mental issues and everything else. Ironically, Hot Bob, it was the same thing that they chatted about on Oprah. So it's almost like that was set in place to be like, hey, going to be on Oprah. You want to announce that gig that I got this week so we could really capitalize off of that? Scotty Riley, the honorable dirtbag, it's a great handle, by the way, said the system should always work for the people. If not, the system means nothing and does nothing. Hashtag APAC. Oh, and get some drugs and booze and whatever dirtbag isms you can think of. Stay dirty, my friends. Oh, we will.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Oh, we will. Because after this weekend, we're going to need it. Dan, you and I didn't get a chance to talk about Joe Biden falling up the stairs.
No, but there have been some of the best memes of all time that have come out of that. I mean, also chatted with my buddy, our buddy, who is a former Air Force One employee. I don't want to out him too much. But
sure.
He was like, yeah, that carpet, not slippery at all. That was just him falling.
That was all him falling. Now, the shocking thing is the media didn't really report it, but, you know, the social media did.
Is it shocking that they didn't report that? I don't think so. I mean, Chris Saliza and had like fucking a science, like a physicist and a behavioral studies guy come on CNN and be like, oh, let's look at how Trump tripped right here. Does this mean he's racist? I think it means it's racist people. Here's another racist guy that tripped like this one time. And they're like John Madden drawing X's and O's. You know what they should have done is shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that footage is being replayed over and over and over again from CNN. Hannity, Sean Hannity used it for half of his show. I think it was Friday or Saturday night. I just don't understand why we can't admit that, you know, Biden is old. He's got dementia. There's nothing wrong with that. You voted him in and it's fine. We're all going to have to live with it. But if you're going to give the same coverage to Trump when he trips and falls or whatever, that he's mentally unstable and we got to get him out of the office, why are we not doing the same thing for Biden?
Who knows, man? I mean, the right did a good job of coming out in defense of Trump when he slipped up that one time, and they really went hard on Hillary for fainting that one time. So it's not like it's just the left doing this shit. Everybody's full of shit. That's why, I don't know if you can tell from the camera, but my gender pronouns are getting fucked. See this new
shirt. Is that shirt available?
It sure is, yeah.
Yeah, drinkingbros.com.
And my nipples are hard, too. That's how excited I am about this shirt.
Ooh, yeah. The merch store is finally live, by the way. And we're amped about that. With the Hillary thing, what I had heard on the inside was she was just having epileptic seizures. And there's nothing that, you know, she could really do about that. Yeah, and maybe had to wear the tinted sunglasses and everything else. Mm-hmm. Which, again, like, that's something that is common that a lot of people
have.
Yeah,
that's
not
even a big deal. You take medication for it. And if you stay up, if you like, go too hard for a while, maybe you'll have an epileptic fit. But as long as you don't fall and crack your head open on the ground, you're not going to die from it. That didn't bother me at all. But this guy not being able to remember where the fuck he is, and tripping upstairs and saying the wrong words like I just did right there. I mean, that shit cannot fucking happen. There's not a stutter, man. There's fucking thousands of hours of video of this guy talking for fucking decades where none of that shit was happening. It's not a fucking stutter. He has got vascular dementia. The end.
Yep. Yeah. But we're just going to skip all that because it doesn't really matter. The media coverage here in this country has just gotten abhorrent. Like, I just can't fucking open up anything or look at anything with one, one kernel of truth anymore.
Yeah, it's nonsense. We need to come up with a new word, though, because the media, that's not, it is media, but the media as a proper noun is not a thing anymore. That doesn't exist.
No. And there's something, another huge deal that is on the table today that we're going to talk about right after the sponsors, which is going to affect all of us as well. And this is in the media. However, it is another acquisition within the media that's going to fuck everyone over. But first, we got some sponsors. Pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. We got the 40% bundle package. That is still there. So when you get the adjustable base and the mattress, congratulations, you're getting 40% off. Now, if you want to get singular items like just the mattress or the pillows or whatever, that is 30% off. Great. That's all fine and dandy. Or let's say you get that mattress at 30% off and then you post a picture of it on Instagram at Ghostbed and then hashtag it drinking bros. They're going to send you two free pillows. That's right. They're scouring the internet right now looking for your pictures, your posts. So if you buy a mattress from Ghostbed, just put it on your Instagram at Ghostbed and then put hashtag drinking bros on it. They're going to send you two free pillows, and I can promise you they're just as great as the goddamn mattress. At ghostbed.com/drinking bros, they also have a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there, so you can couple all of these deals together with the no-interest program, and you're looking at $35-ish bucks a month, and it's amazing, dude. Yeah. You might as well go ahead and outfit your whole bedroom.
Yeah, and you got a 20-year warranty on those bad boys too, which is pretty crazy for a bed. I mean, let's be honest. If you still got the bed after 20 years, I feel like something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, shit. I was asking Chuck Liddell about his fuck game, you know, and it's like, dude, if you have a fuck game that strong, dude, that mattress might not go the full 20.
I mean,
it have a warranty.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think what they did was the average length somebody owns a mattress, I think, is 8 to 10 years or something like that, which seems like a long time, but that's probably not true anymore as much as people move. It's probably a little bit less now, but that was the standard before. They just took that and doubled it and say, fuck you. We're doubling it.
Yeah.
Double it.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Good for them.
And good for us, too, because shit.
Yeah.
Works out for us. Shit.
Next up, we got to getsunday.com/drinking bros, which will give you $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. This one is one of the ones that you guys requested of hey, man, just get us some lawn products. Mm. It's just expensive as fuck. I'm with you. We did it. We vetted all of them. The best was getsunday.com/drinkingbros. Now, this is one of those sites where you can just go on, type in your address, and they will literally pull up every single thing about your lawn, the weather patterns, all the shit you need in this life to keep your lawn looking its best. After the storm in Texas, I needed a few bags myself. I went on there. Yes, I used my own promo code because I'm a dirt bag, but it came instantly, and it's the best in the business. Right now, man, some of these places, it's hard to get it, so might as well just get it shipped to your house.
Yeah, I mean, Hot Bob's using it now, too. He's yep. His lawn got nuked out, so he had just gotten new sod placed, I think, in late September or some shit like that. And, yeah, he's using his now to revitalize that lawn. So this is going to be a good experiment for them.
Yeah, I told the guys that are working on my house, I said, look, man, go ahead and put the lawn seeds out as well. Like, we got to fix everything going forward here. My house got creamed, and they were cool with it. So just pop in the garage. It's super easy. Sunday makes taking care of your lawn easier than ever. Just go on getsunday.com. Put in your home address and the free lawn analysis tool to takes care of the rest. And it's quick. That shit popped up in like 5 seconds to me.
Yeah. It's really interesting too. Just to like, I started looking up other people's addresses just to compare them to mine and see what kind of different soil and weather types they have, like in different parts of the country. It's actually really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit getsunday.com/drinkingbros to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at getsunday.com/drinkingbros. You know what else you can use this for that I haven't really thought of until now is if you're looking to buy a new house and you're wondering what the yard is like, because this happened to me two houses ago. Yeah, dude, this happened to me two houses ago. Bought this house and it was nice in the spring. You just started. It was rad, and the summer hit and that lawn was shit, man. It was patchy and weird. It looked like Sean Penn's hair.
Or like your beard.
Yeah, exactly. Like my fucking patchy beard if I were to grow it in. You can check what it is and what's happening there, man. It's super easy. Last but not least, we've got mybookie.com/drinkingbros. Actually, it's just mybookie.com. I think it's just the promo code drinkingbros.
Yeah, promo code drinkingbros, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you can get up to $1,000 on there. If you go there, look, we're all betting on March Madness these days. I'm going to be real, man. Sports gambling, everybody's betting on everything because you're bored and you're in their house and you're just watching shit. This is the best app. You can bet in all 50 states, and it's amazing. They've been with us for a couple years here, and hopefully they stay with us for a couple more. I can literally bet on anything, anytime, all day long. And after the Ohio State loss, I went all in on Oral Roberts, put it on the money line, and hammered it and won $4,500.
Yeah, that one worked out.
Yeah. So I want to say sorry to Nick, my neighbor. He's a huge Florida fan, and he hit me up right before the game, and he was like, yo, man, what do you think? And I go, I'm all in on Oral Roberts. And I was like, I apologize. And he goes, shit.
Yeah, well, yeah. Don't go to Florida. I don't know
what
they're
to tell legit. Look, they're legit, man. Don't go to a major school these days. All the major schools are out of this.
Yeah, I know, right? It's seriously is who I got to look down the list of who's in the tournament. I wonder when the last time, because Virginia, are they still in?
No, they're out.
They're out.
Virginia lost too.
Yeah. So when's what team is still in that has ever won a national champion or that's won a national championship in the last 10 years?
Yeesh.
I think none in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think none in the last 10 years.
I do know this
still in the tournament.
This is the highest seed. Average seed ever for a Sweet 16.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like 5.6. I think the highest before that was in the 90s, like 5.3.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear your college basketball show because this is fucking chaos to the point where I just switched all my bets to underdogs and almost all of them came through. And the first day I got absolutely destroyed. And then once I saw what was going on, I was like, it's going to be an underdog tournament. Let's bet the house on everyone else. And you know, look, if we get that Gonzaga Baylor matchup at the end of this, I won't be mad at it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. Here are the teams that are in still. Oregon State, Loyola, Oral Roberts, Arkansas, Creighton, Gonzaga, UCLA, Alabama, Villanova, Baylor, Syracuse, Houston, Florida State, Michigan, Oregon, and USC. I think the last team out of any of these to win. What?
Villanova.
When did they win?
They've won twice in the last 10 years.
Okay. So Villanova, and then before that, it probably would have been all the way back to Syracuse when fucking, like, in the early 2000s.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's because Arkansas has never won one. Oral Roberts, Oregon State, Loyola.
Arkansas won in 94.
Okay. Well, that was 94. That's right.
Yeah, that was a long time. That was 25 years ago. Nirvana was still alive.
Yeah,
so.
Barely, but still alive, yeah. Creighton's never won. Gonzaga, they've never won, right? UCLA, it's been a while. It's been since the 80s, I think, since they've won a title. Is that right?
Yeah. Or 90, it's
95.
Crazy. Oh, okay, 95, yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's been 25 years for most of these teams other than Syracuse and Villanova. So, you know, this is – I like it, though. It's interesting. This is
– Same.
We've been talking about this in college football, and I think if college football wasn't so top-heavy, you would see it now because you only see, like, the top three teams. They're the only ones with any chance to win. But the rest of the field, like Michigan State, they don't rank like they used to.
No.
They've been replaced with, like, fucking – I mean, to be fair, they've been replaced with, like, Central Florida and teams like that. Shit. I mean, it's a totally different landscape now. I think if there was more parity – in football, then you would see the same thing. But here in basketball, it's actually great because I don't know how good it is for ratings because Ohio State and Texas, the two teams with the highest admissions or the biggest number of fucking alumni and current students are completely out now. Right? That's got to hurt the bottom line a little bit.
Ratings are skewed this year because there wasn't one last year, and so I think they're up.
Well, we'll see next year.
I don't mean from over last year. I mean, like, just in general, they're up because people missed it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to judge it this year.
It is. Yeah. Let's see. We got it says the ratings are higher, at least for the openers.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's going to continue now that all the big teams are out. When I say big teams, I mean teams. When I say big, rather, I mean large enrollments in alumni associations like Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, etc. I guess Florida State's on there. They have pretty big, but it's got to be one of those state schools that has a bunch of additional campuses.
West Coast too.
Yeah, I mean there's
USC, Oregon.
Yeah, USC, Oregon, and Oregon State are all in.
Even
UCLA.
The shitty the play-in games, man. These were drawing like 3-4 million. I mean, you're drawing like NBA ratings for these play-in games.
There's four fucking Pac-12 teams. I hate Pac-12.
Yeah, the UCLA Michigan State game, that drew one of the highest ratings ever for a play-in game. And I think gambling has a lot to do with it. I know that I had the house on Michigan State, and a lot of people did. UCLA was down by like 14 points and came back and won. But yeah, this is good. Look, this is positive.
Well, there's big games this weekend. I mean,
there is.
There's going to be a lot going on. We're going to have a guest in town. We might do something with Saturday night. For the UFC fights, but there's also a lot of great. We'll probably hang around during the day on Saturday and watch some college basketball. That Villanova Baylor game is looking particularly interesting to me right now. I think I don't know. Oral Roberts Arkansas is pretty interesting too. I think those are the two most interesting games that are going to happen this weekend. But we'll let Bob and Dan cover that shit. We can go back to talking to politics.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, politics is normal shit. The other media story that I wanted to chat with you about today, Dan, is there is a rumor going around right now that seems pretty plausible. That's Bertelsmann, the owner of Penguin Random House, is buying Simon & Schuster.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always good. It's always good when you take an industry that's already stovepiped and make it even smaller.
Yep.
I mean, that's basically like Amazon buying Walmart at that point for literature, which, you know, that's fine. They're trying to consolidate because to consolidate existing rights, probably because they know that this next generation of writer doesn't need them to publish shit anymore. And because of their giant social media followings, they don't need them to market it anymore either. So
yep.
They're going away. That industry, unless they pivot somehow, will not exist in 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, it's a strange one here because, you know, we used to call it the Big Five, right? So, like, if you wanted a big publishing deal and to be in all the stores and all that other stuff, you sign with one of the Big Five. Now you're going to be down to four.
Mm. And we'll see that same transition that happened with Netflix and the award shows, right? So the first couple of years, all these new media self-published books will be boxed out by the New York Times and all the other bestseller lists. But then, because they will be generating the most and the best content, same as Netflix, they'll start getting into the award shows and become eligible for the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes and et cetera, et cetera.
The danger of this, if this deal goes through, is you're looking at then 35% of books would come out of one place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can set whatever narrative or choose whoever you want.
Also set your rates too. That's the bigger problem. Well, I mean, that's not the bigger problem. That is also a big problem.
Yeah. Because I guess if you're trying to take on Amazon, which is what you're going to do, yes, you would have to combine these people. But the problem is then you've got to create a new platform in which to sell your books in the same manner as Amazon. And right now, these guys don't have it. So it doesn't matter how many times they combine over and over and over again. Like, you still need to have an Amazon that is doing Audible, ebook, Kindle, that type of shit, because otherwise you're still going up against Amazon. 91% of your sales are still going to go through Amazon. The bigger issue with it is now that they own 35% of the industry, you don't have to offer advances anymore.
Right.
You can offer a tiny, tiny advance and then put it all on the author to, you know, get the back end, try to get the book out there, get all the publicity and everything else. The last one, you can control what you do and do not want to read in this life. Like, yeah, you can control, like, hey, man, I don't want any books from the rights. I don't want any of that shit going on. And then you can control the authors and what gets published.
Yeah, and that's, I talk about it all the time. It's The Master Switch by Tim Wu. You got to read that book. It details how the American government has been complicit in allowing, helping to create, and then help these monopolies, and then helping to box out the little guy for fucking hundreds of years. It's been going on since the beginning. And you'll be, just prepare if you read the book to be very angry. You'll find out that instead of the internet coming about in the 1950s or 60s as it should have, it took until the 80s and 90s for it to happen.
Right.
It's almost like the Dark Ages, right? It's where there's information available, but because some powerful institution doesn't want it to become available, humanity doesn't benefit from it. That is unacceptable. And the people in charge need to go. They have to go. They got to get the fuck out. Put them in those retirement homes that Cuomo has up there.
Yeah. And just let them die a very, very slow death. Some of the listeners here are saying, Jacob Nichols is saying, Drinking Bros Publishing. The problem with that is Amazon takes such a huge cut that you would need to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we would be taking a cut of you. And then Amazon is also taking a cut of you. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really help that much. Now, you know what would help, Dan, and this is in all sincerity, if you did a book club show, right, mm-hmm, where you read your favorite authors and things like that, then you could get publicity for all of this shit. Because right now, that's where a lot of people are going as far as like recommendations for books and everything, mm-hmm, like that. If you personally did a book, sat down with the author, and then explained it and of why you loved it, why you didn't like it, and blah, 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 I think that's the only way that you could fix some of the publishing issues, especially for the independent publishers right now. Yeah. Because let's face it, a lot of people don't have big social media accounts to get their work out there.
No, it's a big problem for sure. And one of the easiest ways to do it is Amazon and Audible. Unfortunately, as we've been developing this new book club show, Audible straight up told me that they would not work with anything that's conservative. I'm not, by the way. Clearly, you guys know me. I'm not in any way conservative. I mean, I agree with some things conservatives say, but I'll agree. I mean, if Bin Laden liked fucking cheeseburgers, I like cheeseburgers too. What am I fucking now associated with fucking terrorism, motherfucker? People agree on some things sometimes, and it doesn't mean that they're fucking bound together in all their fucking ideology. It's a completely nonsensical thing. Audible is a bunch of cunts. Fuck them. I've not done anything with them personally. I used to buy dozens of books a year. Like, I usually read 4 to 6 books a year. Or I'm sorry, 4 to 6 books a month. And I've completely divested from Audible because fuck those cunts. They can suck my goddamn dick, all fucking 90 inches of it, right? Fuck those guys. They are the biggest pieces of shit on earth. If you're in the business of publishing media, right, and you will not work with one political group over another, then you are a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, and you can also get, you know, audiobooks on iTunes. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're looking for other outlets, they are definitely out there. But again, you know, back to the monopoly situation, like, dude, Amazon now owns Audible.
Yep.
And that's a fucking problem. You know, as far as iTunes, iTunes owns their own shit. And man, there is no winning left in this life. It doesn't feel like there's the little guy that's out there anymore.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. All we have to do is fucking start talking to each other and stop buying into this divisive fucking bullshit. I don't give a fuck if you want to get your dick cut off. I don't care if you want to smoke weed. I don't care if you don't. I don't care if you want to be a vegan. I don't care if you think fucking abortion should be legal. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is the individual having the most power possible to make decisions for their own goddamn lives, provided it doesn't hurt anybody else. The phrase victimless crime is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. If there's no victim, motherfucker, there is no crime. The end. That is how that shit works. So, you know, if we don't decide here pretty soon to completely divest from the divisive thinking, then we're fucked. And we're fucked not just now, but we're fucked forever.
It seems like more and more, though, and, you know, I know we talked about the Sarah Silverman thing the other day. Like, it seems like more and more people are starting to come around to it, where it really wasn't talked about as much in the past, but it seems recently that more and more people are like, yeah, man, like, I keep seeing that AIPAC thing that you keep talking about.
Yeah, I've actually seen it on a bunch of Instagram pages that don't follow me.
Yes, you know what I mean? I've seen that hashtag a lot.
Yeah.
Hashtag APAC. And that seems to be taking off because I think a lot of people feel like that. And it's one of those things now that, you know, because of COVID, it's a state by state thing. And they're seeing what their own politicians are actually like,
yeah,
in the flesh and in person, and what they're doing or not doing for their states. And it's one of those things where it's like, man, it's not the president you should be angry at either.
Yeah.
It's all politicians, yeah, right down to the school board. Every single set of politicians you should be angry at.
Well, it's because we've changed the idea of what a politician is meant to be. And look, the public believed one way and the aristocracy in America believed another from the very beginning, right? Like, Washington expected to be, let's make no mistake, he expected to be the president. That's a problem, right? That anybody would think that way. Like I said before, the people that have power rarely want it or rarely deserve it. And the people that deserve power rarely have it. And it is just it's people that will be good stewards of the power afforded to them by the people will always return that power to the people at every opportunity. People who are poor stewards, who are criminally negligent in their exercise as a protector and as a leader, will always continue to try to get more and more power. They'll try to pass more laws. They'll try to ban more things. They'll try to make you more subservient and then more powerful. And you can see it. If you see a politician talking about more laws, right, talking about more control, then that person cannot be trusted. I don't care what kind of law or control they're talking about. Your job as a fucking, as a federal, at any level, as a politician at any level, is to protect people, not from themselves, but from external. If people want to fucking fuck themselves up, that's none of your goddamn business, man. Honestly, it's just none of your business. Mind your fucking business.
Yeah, but nobody can. And it's not going to change. So I've kind of accepted it. And I'm just looking for other avenues that are out there to either support or try to give some publicity to. I want to ask you about, there was a story over the weekend about Trump being within 2 to 3 months of creating his own social media platform. What do you think is going to happen with that? And they said that there's been multiple offers from others that are already in existence right now.
I think it will keep CNN alive, frankly. I think if Trump just stopped and kept his mouth shut for the next 2 or 3 years, CNN would go bankrupt and have to pivot into something else. But him coming back within 2021 is going to keep them afloat and make them probably even stronger, actually. So it's a huge mistake on his part, and it's a huge mistake for fucking conservatives to support that shit, frankly. That's what I think.
Well, the hard part is this. For conservatives, there isn't really a place to go yet, right? Twitter is an echo chamber for the left. Ah, boy. It's a tough one because, you know, look, there will be a gajillion people that flock to that thing immediately. Mm-hmm. He'll be richer than he probably ever was in his entire life because 75 million people voted for him, right? Yeah. You get half those people converted over to this new app in a few days. Congratulations. You're going to make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for him. But again, is it good for the country? The answer is absolutely not. And if Donald Trump thinks that doing stuff that's good for him and bad for the country is a good idea, then he shows exactly who he was all along, which is a total piece of shit. Like, just because you have a lot of the right political answers doesn't mean you're a good man. And I don't think he's a good man. I think he's a fucking power hungry cunt, just like the rest of them, frankly. And you can see it in his behavior. So I don't trust that guy. If it was anybody else, if it was some moderate, right? Or just someone that's apolitical, that's only interested in the truth, starting a new network where conservatives get equal time, fine with that. Absolutely fine with that. Donald Trump doing it, not a chance.
Is that possible in today's society? Because right now, you can't hear a conservative voice anywhere, it seems like.
I mean, I hear plenty right here. You know what I mean? So if you're out there and you're a wealthy person and you want to invest in a media company that will allow both sides to talk, I mean, keep in mind, we've had some pretty interesting characters on over the past couple of months. We had David Epstein, who's definitely not a Republican, right? We've had Neil deGrasse Tyson, definitely not a Republican. Matthew McConaughey, right. Definitely not a Republican.
I don't know about that.
Maria,
one,
but, yeah. No, he's a libertarian. Maria Konnikova, 100% not a Republican. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to hear all these voices. I want to hear what people are thinking because, look, imagine trying to do algebra and half the equation's covered up. How the fuck are you supposed to do the math, man? It doesn't make sense. So we're just going to continue to box each other out. How much free and fair coverage of the left and their opinions do you think are going to happen on fucking Trump Network? I'll tell you how much. 0%. They're just going to shout and talk hyperbole and all this other bullshit, and it's going to be a fucking echo chamber, and it's going to get worse. And CNN's going to fucking replay their clips, and they're going to replay CNN's clips, and we're all going to be fucking staring at it like retards while the country is being stolen out from under us by these cunts. Fuck that shit. Fuck Donald Trump, and fuck the goddamn, fuck CNN, fuck all these people. All these people are cunts. All of them.
So what's the solution at the end of the day here?
The solution is that, you know, I don't know about the big picture, but in the small scale, you guys all have to start holding people accountable. And I don't mean by lobbing bombs at them. You have to start being calmer. Like, it seems like, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before, but the guy who's jumping around, beating his chest and yelling is probably the one that's about to get his ass kicked. Almost 10 times out of 10, that's going to be the case. The guy who's sitting there calmly, who stands up, takes his jacket off, folds it up and puts it on the bar, that's the guy that's about to whoop somebody's ass. And it's because he's calm and collected and he's given his fucking point of view in a way that is more efficient, I guess you could say. That is the kind of people you need to become, whether you're right or left. It doesn't matter. Because when you shout and yell, the other team shouts and yells, and it all does, that just bounces off of one another and nobody hears shit. It's just not going to work. So I think the solution is, one, to do that, and two, some of these extremely motivated billionaires out there on the right and left, we got to find some of them that aren't crazy. Like the MyPillow guy's crazy. George Soros is crazy. We can't continue to tolerate these people in our public sphere. We can't. I would prefer Bloomberg to be the billionaire on the left and have a billionaire on the right that's a fucking reasonable human being. And just have those guys investing in media companies and shit like that. I don't mind that. As long as they can hold each other accountable in a fucking calm and collected way.
Yeah, and if you are out there and you're a billionaire, invest in the media company. Shit, we got 10 shows already, and we're building every day. We will have all of the voices on here. So, you know, shit, it's there.
Well, not all of the voices. I'm not going to have political hacks on here.
Obviously.
I'm not going to have these political hacks that like Adam Kinzinger again. Never again. Fuck that guy. He'll never come on this goddamn show again. People like that, not a chance. But Tulsi Gabbard, who, you know, most of us would probably disagree with on a lot of issues, including gun control. Definitely have her on anytime. We will have her on sometime soon. We had on fucking Spike Cohen, even though I had to light him up a little bit. Like, we're not afraid of dissenting opinions. What I'm not going to do is give a fucking a platform to people to fucking be apologists for bullshit. Fuck that. It's not going to happen. And most of these guys, when they ask to come on, a lot of people have. They're like, oh, I don't want to talk about this or I don't want to talk about that. I'm like, well, that's mostly what you're about. So we're not going to be part of your fucking PR tour, bitch. You're going to come on here and talk about real shit with real people or get fucked.
Yeah. It happened a few weeks ago, too. No lie. Dan, you just told the guy to fuck off.
Kyle Kashev was the guy's name. He didn't want to talk about how he likes to casually use the N-word. So he's like, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. And I'm like, well, we're talking about it. He goes, I don't want to talk about that. I'm like, well, we're not doing the show. And I just got up and walked away. Fuck that guy, man. What do you think? We're going to fucking help you redo your image? Is that what this show is? No, man. We're fucking – there's a big part of the American community that is represented here, and it's people that have gone overseas and stayed home to fight for their fucking country, whether it be giving first aid and medical care and EMT treatment to people or protecting them as police, working for the federal government, or deploying overseas and fighting wars. I'm not going to fucking be disingenuous with these goddamn people and try to fucking blow smoke up their ass and let you do it too. It's not going to fucking happen. Fuck that. Not one goddamn chance is that happening while I'm here.
Yeah, and it happened again last night. So close out the show here. They put Claudia Conway, the daughter of, it's Kellyanne Conway's daughter. Yeah, and then George Conway's daughter. They put her on American Idol, by the way. Were you familiar with this?
No.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude.
After the shitstorm this girl created and everything else, they put her on American Idol. Her mom was with her. Kellyanne was with her. And she ended up getting cut after the first round. She made it through the auditions and then was cut during the first round. If you're American Idol, you knew what you were doing with this fucking bullshit. And clearly it was a ratings grab. Why? Why is the question, you know? It just seems so fucking weird to me.
That's cringy as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't... So the kid fucking stole mom's phone and published some shit one time that turned out to not be true, but then the mom was also doing weird shit behind the scenes. It's a whole fucking shit show of the family. They're like white trash Kardashians, basically.
Yeah. But they're not hot. I mean, look, even worse. Even worse with those guys. Like, if you're going to follow somebody around with cameras, it's probably the Conways. I mean, you might as well go all in at this point. Because who fucking cares? So...
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, it looks like we're having some fucking difficulty with the Zoom here, although I can still hear your audio. So we're going to go ahead.
Well, if you can hear the audio.
Now we're back now.
Yeah. Someone was trying to sign into our account.
Who?
I don't know.
Someone was trying to sign into the account. Oh, damn. Ooh, that's ominous.
It's probably Ari trying to book stuff. He books such good guests, though. I'm like, all right, fine, do what you want, dude. I'm never gonna yell as long as he keeps getting Matthew McConaughey and Neil deGrasse Tyson. We're like, all right, do what you want, buddy. How much money do we owe you? He fucking rocks it with these guests. Oh, by the way, we have another crazy guest coming up in the next couple of months. Malcolm Gladwell just got booked today.
Yeah.
Big one. So big show.
We're
so now
I've got to
go
that.
Read all of his goddamn books too. Son of a bitch.
I've read half his books, so I'm good on Malcolm Gladwell. I'm gonna.
Point.
The 10,000 hours I really want to get into.
I haven't read that.
I'm sure a lot of people. No. The Tipping Point was the last one that I'd read.
No, 10,000 hours. Tipping Point's the last one I read too.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I read, there was one I read before that, but that was like 10 years ago or some shit. And then I read the Tipping Point. The 10,000 hours is relatively new, right?
Not sure. Not sure, to be honest with you. I know they discussed it in the Tipping Point, but look that up while I do the Drinking Bro of the Week, Dan. Okay. Drinking Bro of the Week was submitted, by the way, submit all your Drinking Bro of the Weeks from drinkingbros.com. There's a submission form. It just goes straight to our email. It is unfiltered, and we do not pre-screen these, so whatever it is, it is. Our merch store is also on there as well, and we finally got all the merchandise we promised for the last 2 years in there, and it is live as we speak. I know there was a few people who had hit us up and said, hey, man, I didn't get that one piece from the old store.
Yeah, so we're going to go through. By the way, if you ordered something from before in the old store, that store shouldn't have been operating that way, and it didn't operate correctly. So I'm going to go back and refund all that shit. Plus, everybody that gets refunded is going to get a fucking 10% off code for whatever else they want. So you get your money back plus a 10% off code to buy new shit if you want.
Yeah. And we're sorry about that. We just didn't know it was still alive. We didn't know it still existed. Yeah. This one is from Brian Pereira. from LA. He's been a member of Drinking Bros since the garage days. He's nominating Ricky Bond. Good afternoon. I've been a Drinking Bros since day one. I love all your shows. I'd like to nominate Sergeant Ricky Bond as Drinking Bro of the Week. He served his country in the active duty and guard components for over 16 years. One deployment to Iraq and two protection assignments at ISAF. Sergeant Bond currently serving with the Louisiana Army National Guard. Unfortunately lost everything in a house fire on the night of December 19th, 2020. He, his wife, and his two young children, 10 and 6, lost everything, including a pet, during the fire. This also happened to be a few days prior to Christmas. Sergeant Bond has courageously placed his life into the service of the Louisiana and the United States deployments abroad and at home, and is a great soldier and a father. He would give you the shirt off his back. He always had a positive attitude and outlook for everyone, and currently he is down in his spirits. He's launched they've launched a GoFundMe for him, as his friends have.
Okay.
So you can go look for Ricky Bond on there, on the GoFundMe for him, and try to give him some help out there. But you can submit your Drinking Bro of the Week right now. Oh shit, the Drinking Bros have been killing it. Dude, he's only $400 shy of the goal.
That's it.
Yeah, so in the Drinking Bro community, I guess this was already launched, and the family was asking for $9,000 to take care of everything, and they've already raised $8,500, so they're super close.
Awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah, so just type in Ricky Bond, and it pops right up, the Bond family, B-O-N-D family, and help Ricky out. Right quick, because that shit, I bet it'll be at his goal by tomorrow morning, to be honest with you. That'll be awesome. In the meantime, you can join us on all the other platforms. Drinking Bros Sports is its own feed now, so subscribe to that, and definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. Doing a bunch of watch-along games live, and we interviewed Muggsy Bogues earlier today, the littlest NBA player of all time, but he's got a huge heart. 5'3 Muggsy was on the show today. It was really fun.
That was a great one.
He was a fucking great guest all the way around. And as always, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. That's what helps keep us up in the charts. It's not the listeners or anything else. It is simply those reviews. So please go there and do that now.
Oh, yeah. And also, by the way, on Instagram especially, they've really changed around how the algorithm works. So I believe... if I'm not mistaken, that saving is number one, and then sharing is number two. So the little ribbon thing on the far right side, if you click that and save that post, it's number one. And then sharing it, the little right arrow thing, is number two, I believe. And then likes and comments after that.
Really?
Comments, then likes, I think, yeah.
What does the save thing do with the ribbon?
It's a bookmark.
Yeah, the save is a bookmark. It bookmarks it for later, right? So they think, like, truly shareable content, people are going to want to go back and look at it again and again and again, right? So if you save it like that, then you can do that. And if you share it, it's shareable as well. Those are the top two components now. So save and share all of our shit on Instagram, because we're, again, trying to fight against these goddamn dumb corporate overlords.
Yeah, it keeps getting weirder and weirder. Like, every time it's adding something else, like... Dumb question, but it's like most of Instagram is like pictures and shit.
Yep.
Why would I want to save it and just relook at that picture unless it was, you know?
Well, there's porn. A lot of like funny videos. There's a lot of infographics, all kind of weird shit on there that you want to go back and look at later.
I guess, but it's like, dude, I have very few friends on there. Like, you know, that's the thing, I follow. Though.
If you track on the logic that you're using right now, it's even more important. For people, it doesn't matter why Instagram is doing it. It just matters that our people are doing it. Because if you want to see more of our shit and more shit like ours, then you need to be fucking working with us to game this algorithm, right? It's the only way.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So
that, from our perspective, that's why I want to do it.
All right. And then, D'Anthony, if you're looking for a doc to watch, the Aunt Becky doc dropped a couple days ago on Netflix. And it goes over the whole Operation Varsity Blues situation and parents like buying their kids way into these schools and shit. The beauty of it is like the week after like all of them got busted.
Yeah.
Somebody from China came over and paid Harvard $10 million and got their kid in. It's just, doesn't
I mean, it's different.
Matter.
It's different if you buy a building on campus and name it after yourself. That's fine. Right. But any other way of paying off the university is somehow criminal all of a sudden. Like, come on, man, this is a bunch of bullshit. I wonder, though, what's the over under on Aunt Bucky coming out of prison with a face tattoo? What do you think? Is she going to have always tired under her eyes?
The beauty of Aunt Becky is she's married to this like famous designer, Massimo, right? I think everybody knows who that dude is. He went through some like type of prison training course because he fucking shaved his head before he went in and looks like he was part of the Aryan Nation.
Oh,
to
was
get
it like
ready
25th hour
shit.
Where he got what's his nuts to beat him up? What's that guy's name? Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper
beat him up under a bridge right before he went to prison.
Yep. So that's what Massimo did. He got 5 months. Most of these people just got like a light slap on the dong. If you were famous, you didn't get very many days.
Yeah.
But the rest of these poor fucks did, and it's not going to stop anything.
No. Why would it?
Watch the doc. It's super fascinating because it really went through it. And this is the first doc that I've ever seen where a big actor plays the suspect. Or not the suspect, the guy who ended up getting convicted of all of these crimes. So there's a guy named Rick Singer that's in the documentary, and that's who it's about, because he's the one that set all this shit up right at the different colleges. Now, what they did was they took all of the transcripts from the FBI and the tap phone calls and all that shit, and then combined them and then wrote a script based on that. And Matthew Modine actually played Rick Singer. So when you're watching it, you're like, yo, man, is that fucking Matthew Modine? And it is.
That's
so he's
I wonder how much they paid him for that.
I kept thinking the same thing because I was like, oh shit.
I mean,
the last thing I saw him
was the Dark Knight Rises, right? He played one of the police chief guys. The one that hid for a while. I that's the last thing I really remember Matthew Modine being in.
I think I saw him in Weeds, maybe. I was a fan of that show on Showtime, but...
Yeah, but when did that end? It was probably around the same time. A while ago. 14, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, a while ago. But if you watch it, and then you blink your eyes, and you're like, yo, is that Matthew Modine? It is. And then what they're doing is cutting back and forth between the real people doing, like, interviews based on what happened, and then Matthew Modine is playing the lead guy who was talking to all of these people. And it was super fascinating. I haven't seen a doc like that in a while that was done like that, where you're like, oh shit, that's interesting. And I wonder if that's going to be the new style of documentary filmmaking, because it was really good and it flew by.
Well, I'm sure right now, I mean, this is a good, if you're out there with some kind of weird project that you've always wanted to get a big name for, right now is the time to do it, because they're all out of work. No, none of the production companies can do anything because they have to abide by union rules. So
yeah,
we should probably shoot Rescue 16 soon before Nick Cage starts getting work again. Maybe we can get him at a discount.
Man, it's written. It's up to those guys. Yeah. If you can wrangle, 10 people together. Ryan, Rocco's on the Mayans. I just talked to him like 2 days ago.
That's true. I mean, he there's no way he could do it right now while they're filming, because they have such strict rules for the union even at FX and the Fox studios. They're not putting up with any bullshit. Just the way
yeah,
it is.
So he's back, by the way. The new season is out now. So season 3 of The Mayans is out now, and it's super edgy, and they're really fucking going for it this year. Rocco's fucking amped about it, so check that out as well. D'Anthony.
Yep.
Fun weekend in Los Angeles. I will be back in the studio on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We got a big announcement next week on our new show that we are planning. And then I believe you've got a baseball show, too, this week, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a baseball show with me, Bob, Ben Verlander, again, who we've had on the show before, and John Briggs. We're just going to preview the new MLB season. That's why I had to go to a game yesterday. I had to. I had to see some live baseball for the first time since 2019.
Do you have fantasy leagues, by the way, for baseball this year?
Yeah, we're going to start those sometime in the next – well, we'll probably start them next week. The weekend after, what is that? The fucking, I can look at the dates here. Hang on a sec.
Baseball starts the first week of April.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple sketchy injuries this week. So I kind of want to keep it as close to the start of the season as possible so that someone doesn't draft. I forget, Blue Jays pitcher just had Tommy John.
Yep.
And okay. George Springer's got quad issues now.
Yeah, we'll probably look at doing it starting on Tuesday next week or something like that. So a week from today.
And then that's maybe Drinking Wednesday. Bros Sports, right? They can sign up in Drinking Bros Sports.
Yeah, we may do it Wednesday, actually, because next Wednesday's guest is Brett Saberhagen.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Hell, dude.
Yep.
That guy threw the biggest dips in of all time. Yeah.
He had a big curveball, too.
Huge. Great pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. Sign up for Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. It's a private group. That way you can talk as much shit as you want. And then you can actually play against Dan and Hot Bob in their league and see if you can destroy their hearts and their minds. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.